You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, what does Hillary Clinton's body language tell us? An expert knows, and you'll hear from him. Plus, baking with marijuana and the summer camp for potheads. Let's meet the friends. Aaron Myers has the day off, but God has saved the queen. That's why Gonzo Gregg is here.
Wouldn't go that far, Phil. Thanks for having me. Hey, if you have a 700 credit score, let me tell you, you are so punk rock.
And he's as stable as they come. It's Chris Martin.
What's the best part of being the horse that wins the Triple Crown? I'll tell you coming up.
If you listen to this program on iTunes, thanks for leaving a comment and a review, especially a good one. You're helping the show by doing that because the folks at iTunes read your comments, notice your five-star reviews. And please do subscribe to the program. What's the matter with you? All right, let's get things rolling. Here we go. The bank card for punk rockers, is that what you're talking about, Gonzo?
Yeah, there's a lot wrong with me. Yeah, but it was about, I don't know about for you, it was 38 years ago. I was a young boy, and I remember watching a report with Walter Cronkite introducing the Sex Pistols.
Oh, that must have been surreal.
It was, you know, here's Johnny Rotten on stage spitting on people and yelling at them, and I said, that's the greatest music in the world.
Yeah.
I love it.
All right.
38 years ago, now Virgin, they signed to Virgin Records back then, and now Virgin, their bank company, Virgin Money, has introduced a new line of credit cards, which feature the artwork from the Nevermind the Bollocks Sex Pistols album.
Yeah.
It's on the credit card.
Yeah.
So there's Sex Pistols artwork on the credit card. In fact, it's such an art piece. Actually, your information is on the back side, so it doesn't mess up the art on the front of the card.
Can you buy? Can you use the card to buy a safety pin to put through my nipple?
You might be able to do that. One would think. So you take your Sex Pistols Anarchy in the UK credit card to the Walmart, I suppose. Anarchy. Put this on my account.
Yeah.
It's some anarchy.
It is
yes.
So against what the Sex Pistols stated raison d'être was. You know, remember how they used to explain it in French?
Sure, what they would state, but the true thing was it was all Malcolm McLaren's thing to make money, and they went on to make the movie, the Rock and Roll Swindle,
yeah.
Which was what it was all about, really, was it was just a crass business play, which, you know, Johnny Rotten has gone on to say over the years, although he has not yet had a comment on the Anarchy in the UK credit card at this
mm-hmm.
point.
Mm-hmm.
The thing I'm
Will
looking at
he endorse it?
Probably, given the I'm sure if they were come to him, he probably would. He was on. He did TV commercials for butter or something not too long ago. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see him on TV.
Guy hasn't changed much over the years, by the way, either, has he? I mean, other than his looks, he's still wildly flagrant, shirtless rock star.
Clean living
into the crowd.
Yeah, you can tell from all the clean living. Yeah, but he's still pretty much an ass, which is why we love him.
Yeah,
I think
exactly. Yeah. Right. You know, one other thing that we love is the folks over at Apple. They've created things that have become ubiquitous in society, like the iPod, right?
Oh, yeah. Are you ready for Apple Music? Is everybody excited? Apple Music! Apple Music! Hello? Anybody with me? Apple Music!
Crickets? Anybody?
Really?
Yeah.
I stick to the iPod.
Really?
Yeah, I'm old school like that.
Well, they'll keep doing that, although you will notice if you go to the Apple website as of yesterday, Monday, when they had the all their big announcements, including Apple Music, that the iPod is no longer listed on the top bar of Apple stuff. You know, it used to be up there with the Mac and everything else, but now iPod has been replaced by Music. So it's like it's still there. It's still one click down, but you can see the iPod is no longer really top of their playbook right now. And clearly they have, they've seen a decrease in download as a business model, so they are going to go with streaming, which is where the industry is going, and they seem to be disrupting themselves, and obviously this is going to put them in the hopper with Pandora and all those others.
Yeah, Spotify.
Spotify and so forth. I'm excited about it because I got on board early with streaming, and I did Rhapsody, which nobody is on.
No, not anymore, because Rhapsody was annoying.
Right, and didn't have a lot of stuff. And I think Apple may have a good shot at this. They're going to give us a 2 or 3 month thing to get in and try it out for free.
So does this mean now that when I open up iTunes, it's going to require me to download and install iTunes version 11.356712.
They'll do that anyway, just for fun.
Yeah,
because they like to do that.
Can't believe they're only on version 11. Can you?
It takes 40 minutes to open on a Mac.
Yeah, right.
Hopefully they'll work on that a little bit. But I'm excited about it, and that's probably where I'll end up because I can't stand. What's the one that picks your songs for you?
Pandora.
That
is one of my biggest pet peeves. You liked this song, so clearly you'll like this song as well.
Clearly.
No, I don't like that song.
No, I despise that song, and now you've made me angry.
Yes. Go away, you silly music people.
Right.
All right. Good. Hey, you know what? What happened in 1978?
In 1978, that was the year, I don't know, I was going to come up with something about whoever the president was.
Well, no, it was the last time there was a Triple Crown winner.
That's correct.
The last time until this past weekend.
Correct, yeah.
In horse racing.
Yep, it's been many years, almost four decades now, since a horse has won the Triple Crown, which is winning three races, the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont Stakes, which was accomplished this weekend by American Pharoah.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome looking horse. And the horse, by the way, does plan to run a couple of more times this year. There's some really lucrative races coming up.
Is that what the horse said in his press conference?
It just came straight from the horse's mouth.
Yeah.
And one of the races will include the Breeders' Cup, has a $5 million prize purse. So, of course, how do you avoid, you know, not giving that a run?
Yeah, you got to go for that.
But if all goes well, the horse will retire and be put out to stud in February of 2016. Now,
ooh, that's party date. So American Pharoah is counting down the days to stud farm party time.
And stud farm party, that means that every other horse owner out there that has a female horse, a foal or a filly, whatever you want to call them, will pay to have American Pharoah come over and have a romantic evening with their female horse.
I can hear the fillies swooning now.
They will pay on average $200,000 per breeding session. And by the way, one stud horse can court as many as 100 foals per year, which if I do the math real quick, that's $20 million a year just to go get it on.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty happening life right there.
It is. That's the second most a horse receives behind Tappet, who gets $300,000 a year. Why more than American Pharoah?
Why more than American Pharoah?
Because
Chris?
He has produced 450 winning horses already through his spectacular breeding.
Wow. Mm-hmm. How about that? So what do you get, Chris?
What do I get per session?
Yes.
Usually a hard slap on the face and a get out of my room.
I need you gone by 7 a.m.
Right. Sometimes cab fare.
Yeah.
You're doing better than the rest of us.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? Some people are doing much better than us. Kim Kardashian. And this is more proof that girls, all you have to do is get a sex tape and you'll be uber rich someday. But Kim spent $110,000 to rent out Staples Center. You know what that is? If for those of you who are not from Southern California, that's where the Lakers, the Clippers, and the Kings play their sports. And it's a rather nice arena in downtown Los Angeles. She rented the joint out so that Kanye, her husband, and his friends could play basketball as part of his birthday celebration. The players included Justin Bieber. Is this how you say this, Chris, you and the young kids? Tyga?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Pusha T, I don't know who that is, and actual NBA stars Russell Westbrook and John Wall, and Kobe Bryant, Magic Johnson, Carmelo Anthony, Shaquille O'Neal, and Scottie Pippen made videos that played on the Jumbotron while those guys were out there playing. Examples of what you do when you've got a lot of money. Okay.
You have to do something with it.
Now, here's another example. When you have a lot of money and maybe you're not into flaunting it necessarily, you know who Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie are.
I've heard of them.
No, Phil, tell us. Who are these people?
Just a couple of two-bit actors.
Right.
And one of them's got big lips. And all six of their kids and the mom and dad, Brad Pitt and Angelina, they're not necessarily the baby mom or dad, but they've adopted many of these kids. They recently flew from the U.S. to Nice, France, and they flew coach. And heck, it wasn't even a direct flight. They had a stopover in Paris. The family has a home near Nice, and that's where they welcomed their twins, Knox and Vivien, in July of 2008.
Now, please just tell me they didn't bring the dogs, because we don't need any more of this nonsense with the dogs.
No.
Yeah.
No, please. No what more do you dogs. Think went wrong with their private airline their for them to be forced into taking coach over there?
What? No, I just think they don't have any illusions about who they are. I think they've got their head screwed on right. That's
and do you think that they were hassled by all of the other people on the flight?
So there was this constant buzz. You know, it's like what we call in the voiceover business, right, Greg? You know what this is, the Walla Wallas. Right? Yes, in the background, all the background players are saying Walla Walla. Sounds like a Walla Walla, Walla Walla, Walla. Sounds like a crowded room of people having conversation. Well, the plane immediately went into Walla Walla mode when everybody said, look, it's Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
And those adopted bastard stepchildren of theirs.
Oh, you're going to take it there?
No, that's what people said. I could swear they said that.
Oh, okay, yeah. I thought it was Walla Walla they were saying.
Yeah, it could be. That could be the case, too. Speaking of airlines, you're not going to like the changes that the airlines would like to make with your baggage. And Chris will tell you about that next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks for tuning in and for subscribing to the program. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. And where would we be without you as our friend? And that was not a facetious question. I was being sincere. Can you see the sincerity on my face? Of course you can't, because you didn't go to the How to Listen page, where we show you not only how to listen, but how to watch the show live. Have you ever done that? You get to see what Chris looks like.
And that's a treat, my friend.
Yeah. And then you get to see that when Gonzo Greg Spillane is on the program, we have a microphone installed on the floor underneath the desk.
Right.
You cannot see him.
Cloak of invisibility. I wear it always.
Yes. And it's the level of safety he needs to have that bit of deniability that, no, it wasn't really him on the show. See, you can't prove that I was there.
Like exactly. He says regularly, it wasn't me.
Yeah. Wasn't me.
That's right.
Wasn't there, I swear.
All right. And by the way, we have more show to do. So why don't we get to that now? And we were talking about airlines and Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie flying coach, and they could afford to check all the baggage in the world. But a lot of times I'll travel, and it's just a quick business trip or something like that, and I'll put everything I need for, 12 to 18 hours worth of travel in a carry-on. And the carry-on bags are a specific size. You know how that is. They fit in that little box at the airport. And if it fits in the box, you get to carry it on the plane.
Somehow, what I don't understand is the people that managed to get the grand piano onto the plane.
Yeah.
And they're trying to stuff it in the overhead bin.
Right, yeah.
Somehow they got that to fit in the little box. And now,
The dude with the extra large sitar.
Right.
And the backpack. And that guy's sitting next to you, and he's looking for a place to stick that sitar. Anyway, Chris, some changes when it applies to how big that box at the airport's going to be when you stick your bag in there, huh?
Changes are coming, Phil. They're coming quick. Millions of frequent flyers might have to buy all new carry-on luggage, which I'm sure the Samsonites of the world are very happy about. But Global Airlines has announced today new guidelines that recommend shrinking carry-on bags to free up space in overhead bins.
Wow.
So all of you people out there with the... it's just inches. It's less than inches in some respects. Like, right now you can have one that's 22 by 14 by 9. Well, they're taking that and they're turning it into, 21 by 13.5 by 7.5.
Yeah, but
how will that make any difference? How does that make any difference at all?
It does. Seriously. It's like 8 cubic inches. What is that? That's like 6 pairs of socks.
Something in that range, yeah.
It's a game of inches.
Sounds to me like they're in cahoots with the airline baggage industry, and they're just trying to drum up business. But yeah,
I like that. Because you'll have to check more bags, right? Then they'll charge you to check your bags because you won't be able to bring more of your stuff on the plane, right?
Yeah. $25 on average to check a bag.
I think
so that they can lose your bags, which is what they do best more than anything.
Yeah, I think if I was Samsonite, I'd be all over this. I'd be loving it. You go, airlines. You do it. But by the way, wouldn't Air Cahoots be a good name for an airline?
Mm. I like that. Trademark that.
Right.
Either that or they're just making it so they're going to make the under the seat space smaller so they can jam more rows of seats in there probably.
Oh,
it does. Yep. By the way, this rule will be affected by how many people are actually on the flight. If it's at maximum capacity, then that's where these regulations, the whole thing's sort of gray area right now. They're working out the kinks. But yeah, if you're in a plane that fits 100 and only 70 people are on it, you're going to have less restrictions. You might not have to have
a smaller
bag. All
right, so I'm trying to help the airline industry here out a bit, because you said something, and I want to touch on that. You said it decreased the size of the empty space beneath the seats so that you could jam more seats in there, Greg. Well,
right.
I'm thinking, okay, fine. Why not put the initial row of seats all the way down to the floorboard and then give people like a little bench or something to put their feet on so their knees are up around their chest when they're sitting, okay? It's not exactly the most comfortable, although some people swear by it,
right.
A great way to sit. And then you have additional room above, so couldn't you then have a double-decker row of seats?
Bill, shut up, because they'll do it.
Right
they'll
above the heads of the
just,
people on the first row that are on the floorboard.
Shut up. Remember that thing when they're going to make us all stand up? There weren't even going to be seats anymore. They were just going to have like a little leany thing you could just lean on and stand through your entire flight.
Right.
So.
It's like that ride at the pier that that they had to shut down.
It was like a fold-down bicycle seat. They'd literally have walls that were 18 inches closer than the seats were, and there would be a bicycle seat that would just fold down from the wall, and you'd just sit.
Here's another idea,
jammed
then,
in the center of your legs.
Just to springboard off of the ride at the pier that they had to shut down concept and tie it into airlines. So when you get into the plane and you're greeted by the flight attendants with a smile and hello, welcome aboard, instead, if we follow the concept where you're just standing up and you're tied to a bar, when you're greeted on the plane by carnies.
Oh.
I think we're pretty much there already, Phil. I mean, really, have you flown lately? I mean, since the days of stewardesses, really, things have declined. We're pretty much at the carny level.
Yeah.
The pilot's up in front going, do you want to go faster? And then, you got the flight attendant with teeth missing. It's just sad.
That's right. That's right. Did you know that every single Snickers bar, except the tiny Halloween-sized ones, are made in Waco, Texas? Did you know
Waco, Texas?
Yeah, Waco. Waco is the land of Snickers.
No wonder that place is blowing up with population and job opportunity.
I thought you were going somewhere else.
All makes sense now.
They call the Halloween-sized ones fun size, and in my personal opinion, I find nothing fun about such a small, tiny little candy bar that promises fun and then just delivers nothing.
It is interesting, the concept of fun. For some people, it may be fun to try to visualize that such a small piece of candy could be enjoyable.
Such a small piece of anything. If you were to go to your girlfriend and go, oh, it's fun size. She's not buying that.
No.
Yeah. See what I'm saying?
Are you saying it should be renamed to disappointment size?
Yeah. Right, exactly. I'll settle for this because it's late on Saturday size.
Right. Well, while you're exercising that, Whoopi Goldberg, you know who that is. She worked once as a phone sex operator. This was early in her career.
Wow, I've probably talked to Whoopi Goldberg multiple times.
Yes.
Wow, didn't even know it.
No.
Me too. She helped me get in contact with my dead grandma. That was when she was a clairvoyant. It was right before her sex operator.
Was she doing those? I didn't know she was doing those.
No. Uh-uh. But speaking of that, Paranormal Activity, that's the movie. You know what that is. It's the most profitable movie ever, percentage-wise. It cost $450,000 to make, and it made $89.3 million. That's a return on investment of 19,751%.
Wow. Because they didn't have any actual actors, and they filmed it on, like, video cameras, right?
Yeah.
It also sucked. There was also that factor.
Yeah. Well, they went to the Walmart and picked up a VHS video camera, right?
They pulled off a Blair Witch. It was probably the second most profitable movie was Blair Witch, filmed with similar circumstances.
Right, right. Yeah, and the Blair Witch thing, that was like they all went to summer camp.
Yeah.
wasn't it? Do they still have summer camp? I mean, what if you're a grown-up? Can you go to summer camp, Gonzo?
Phil, you can, and it's outstanding. And it's in Denver, Colorado, and it's called Canna Camp.
Uh-oh.
It's camp for potheads. Canna Camp, the first property that allows marijuana consumption in all public areas.
Wow.
So you can toke up on the hiking trail, by the pool, on the lake, mm-hmm. or in the smoking lounge.
Wow.
And people are very excited about this because, like, you can't go to a national park and smoke. So this offers a great opportunity for people who enjoy marijuana to go to a beautiful 170-acre resort for summer camp. It runs from July 1st to October 31st, and you enjoy luxurious amenities and activities, including cannabis yoga, gourmet meals, and cannabis-inspired classes like cooking and arts and crafts. There's, of course, the standard summer camp stuff like hiking and canoeing and fishing and horseshoes.
Yeah. You won't remember any of it, but it's going to be a great time.
You'll remember the price tag, $395 per night,
whoa,
minimum three-night stay, and that doesn't even include the weed.
Yeah. You're harshing my buzz.
Although, if you want, they will provide a menu of recommended strains and suggested pairings with specific activities and meals.
Oh, now they're getting snobby on us. Oh, gosh. Hey, if you're following the presidential candidates into the forest for your Canna Camp, I got the two stories mixed up there. You know they're pulling out all the stops to impress you, but what they say may not be as important as how they say it and what their bodies and faces are saying. Do you ever take that into consideration? Well, you need to know what to look for, and an expert will join us to help you with that next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thanks for tuning in. We're back, and so are you. Thank you for that. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. If you know what to look and listen for, you can learn a lot from what the presidential candidates are saying, their body language, and something called micro-expressions could be a window into their level of sincerity, their confidence, and a whole host of things that you'd like to know about before you hire a commander-in-chief, I would imagine. Well, joining us now is the author of the book, How to Read Minds and Influence People, is mentalist and communications professor Carl Chrisman. Professor Chrisman, hi.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah, just great to have you here. I think we're all familiar with body language, but what is a micro-expression?
Well, body language are the larger movements that we make. Micro-expressions are the small, almost imperceptible movements that people make that really reveal a lot about us. We're able to control the larger, broad sweeps of our body language, but it's a whole lot harder to control those little tiny expressions that last usually less than a second that tell people what we're truly thinking.
So are they, if you know what to look for, are they easily recognized? And you say that we can't necessarily control them, but can some people, perhaps psychopaths, control their micro expressions?
Absolutely. Well, the key here is if you believe it, it's much easier to control it. When you know that it's a lie and you're actually intending to tell a lie, it's a whole lot harder. Some people are able to do it, but it's very, very difficult.
Also, as a sociopath believes lies.
Yes, generally.
Yeah, and so that person can control micro-expressions and pull one over on you.
Absolutely. If they believe it, it's much easier.
That's
this
why we're talking
subtle,
about... Yeah.
The subtle difference between me giving you the finger and me just looking at you like I'm giving you the finger.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, but this is also, when we're talking about psychopaths and sociopaths, this is why we're talking about politicians. Right? So, learning to spot micro expressions could help you in day-to-day life, right?
Absolutely. And it takes work, it takes a lot of effort, and sometimes even just looking back at it a few times makes it much easier. There's so much going on. When we're speaking, we can only say one thing at a time, but nonverbally, we're doing 20 things at once. Mm-hmm. So being able to actually look at the video footage, which makes it much easier with politicians since pretty much everything they do in public is recorded, we can go through it, we can see it a couple of times and see what they're actually doing with different parts of their face.
Yeah, okay, so before we get into the politicians, let's look at just a typical scenario. Let's say we're in the garage with our buds and we're having a poker game and trying to read each other's faces to see who's going to go where with their hand and with their money, and so that I could outwit them and win the hand, win the pot. that's a good situation to be able to read micro expressions, right?
Absolutely. And that's why many professional poker players wear the sunglasses and do everything they can to hide things. The problem with situations like that is they don't necessarily have to even say much. If I would have someone say, I have a full house, it would be much easier to tell whether they were telling the truth or not. If they just sit there, it's a little bit more difficult.
Yeah. But you know what to look for. And we're going to talk about what we started this segment with, presidential candidates. And you did a quick study on Hillary Clinton, right?
Absolutely. Looking at the last time that she took questions, doesn't do it very often, but she took questions a couple weeks ago. And you could see a lot in what she was actually thinking as she was answering those questions.
For instance?
You could tell that she really was not enjoying it. It was kind of a required thing there. It's hard to fake sincerity and make it actually look good. So she was trying, but it was obvious that she wasn't enjoying it. She was just there, kind of forced into the situation. And one thing you can tell, one of the micro expressions is the expression of contempt, which is where the corner of one lip is raised and tightened, meaning that you look down on someone else or something and you're just not enjoying it.
Yeah.
And we could see that in many of the questions. You would see as soon as the question was asked, she would get that look, meaning she didn't really want to be doing it. She wasn't enjoying being there. She was just kind of forced into it. And then she'd proceed to answer it with kind of a predictable answer.
So what is the conclusion then? Is she just uber confident, or is she annoyed she has to campaign to win what she believes should be hers?
It looked as though she was annoyed with having to answer the questions, annoyed with the press.
Yeah, right. Okay, fine. So when just the layman's study here, when we're looking, let's say, at a debate, because there will be debates, there'll be Republicans against Republicans, Democrats against Democrats, and ultimately there will be the candidates from each party debating against each other. What are some of the basic things we look for when we want to know that what they're saying is the truth, they're sincere, or they're not just looking for all the power on the planet?
Well, one thing to look for is the level of response that they get, the level of nonverbal responses they give, and whether or not that goes along with what's being said. In the questions that Hillary Clinton just answered, you could see really overemphasizing her gestures. She really nodded her head quite a bit as she was talking. And this almost shows as though it's pre-rehearsed, that if I'm actually having a conversation with you, I'm going to not really think about what my nonverbal responses are. I'm just going to act naturally.
Can you decoy away from some of the micro expressions if you just have one of those giant toothy plastered grins on your face?
Part of that can help, and also just extreme movements. If you're moving around a lot, so people that are really active, their head's always moving, it's a lot harder to spot.
Yeah. So, Phil, who are you trying to fake out, man? What's going on?
Yeah, right. Exactly. I don't want you to know what I'm thinking. But we're talking with a mentalist right now.
Absolutely.
Carl Chrisman. Explain that exactly. What's the background? What makes you a mentalist?
Well, mentalism is playing with the mind. For years, I've been a member of the Magic Castle in Hollywood. And
fun.
There's a lot of absolutely. There's a lot of people there that do sleight of hand and things like that. And I always found that interesting. But I went a different direction with it, playing with the mind. So it's using language and psychology to influence people in ways they don't necessarily realize, as well as trying to read nonverbal communications. My other profession is I'm a professor of communications, and it's all about looking at nonverbal communication. So trying to read people and try to influence them. So I always say it's kind of entertainment for adults. It's magic for adults, where it combines magic, psychology, and hypnosis.
Does your ability to kind of spot cues like that mess up like movies, or like if there's a bad actor in a movie, does that read to you, or is that an entirely different thing?
Well, for that, they have the choice to edit, so they're going to take the best thing, and it doesn't necessarily match what's going on. But it sure does make actual conversations with people interesting to try and see what are they actually feeling. Part of this goes to empathetic accuracy, which is we all have that ability. If we look like someone else, if we look at them and we're experiencing what they experience, that's empathetic accuracy. You can look at someone who's got a certain expression on their face, and if you just ask yourself, if I were that person, how would I feel right now? And that tells you a lot about what they're actually thinking, what they're going through at the moment. So yeah. It does make it interesting to have conversations.
You sir, are both probably the absolute best and absolute worst person to be in a relationship with. I would.
That's what people I've dated have told me.
Yes, okay. Now, you talk about all of this in your book, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And the book is, again, it's called How to Read Minds and Influence People. It's available in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. But give us kind of a thumbnail of what's in there.
Oh, sure. So I love that title, just kind of something somewhat fun.
Yeah, I like
but
it.
The basic idea here is looking at how your life would be improved by trying to understand people a little bit more effectively and then try to influence them. So I started off with the premise that everything really is sales. We're always selling something. If you're on a date, you're selling yourself to the other person, saying you're a fun person to hang out with. As a teacher myself, my job is to sell the students on why it's important for them to study. Doctors sell patients, lawyers sell judges. So we're always trying to persuade people. So I looked at this in two parts. The first half is how to read minds, which basically, how do you understand people better? So we talk about microexpressions and body language. We talk about looking at people's personalities. We talk about cold reading. And cold reading is the technique that psychics use, where what they do is try to tell a lot about people just by looking at them, by looking at their age, by what they're wearing, their posture, jewelry. You can tell a lot about what people have gone through, what they've experienced. So the first part is all about trying to relate to people, basically yeah. creating rapport.
Mm-hmm.
The more we can know about people, the easier it'll be to get along with them.
Yes. And the second part and the third part and the fourth part and all the other parts, they're yeah. all in the books. We're not going to give – we want them to buy the book for sure. So again, it's in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com.
All right.
And carlchrisman.com is on our links page as well. Sir, a pleasure to speak with you. And I'm going to start looking for those micro expressions.
Perfect. Thank you for having me.
All right. There you go. Thank you. As more states look at legalizing recreational marijuana, it makes sense that more people will be baking brownies or other delicious food items infused with cannabis, right? Well, that's why you're about to hear from the author of the new cookbook, Sweet Mary Jane, 75 Delicious Cannabis-Infused High-End Desserts. That's next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. We're back. Did you ever go to a party and see a plate full of brownies?
Oh.
And if you're like me, you can't resist, so you eat one. Oh, all right, you eat three.
Uh-huh.
Only to find out there's pot in them there, brownies. Good night, sleep tight. Well, these days, we are just scratching the surface of possibilities when we're talking about brownies. And joining us now is the owner of Colorado's beloved Sweet Mary Jane Cannabis Bakery, the author of the new cookbook called Sweet Mary Jane, 75 Delicious Cannabis-Infused High-End Desserts. It's in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. Her name is Karen Lazarus. Hi, Karen. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. Even better now that you've called.
Oh, how nice.
Well, listen, you're not kidding on the high end. And yes, I guess we mean high on both senses of the word. We want to get to the recipes in your book in a moment, but let's get a little background on you. Before you started cooking with marijuana, were you a professional baker or was it more of a hobby for you?
It was more of a hobby, but I did work with a healthy lifestyle magazine, creating recipes for them, testing them, and I catered for a while when I lived in New York, and I also lived in the Caribbean, and I catered there.
What was that like, catering in the Caribbean? There might be a few infused recipes there.
Actually, I didn't infuse any recipes there, but you would think.
Yeah, you would. So how long ago did you start baking?
Oh, I was a little kid when I started baking. My mom was a big baker, and I always loved to bake with her. And so I started baking when I was very, very young and just continued. And then by the time I got to college, that's when I started, you know, thinking, well, maybe we could add some wheat to these.
Yeah, well, I want to explore that a little bit. I mean, how and when did you come to become interested in this? And, well, did it have to do with health benefits, or was it more like a college let's get high with some brownies thing?
In college, it was let's get high.
Yeah.
But when I started reading about the health benefits of cannabis, you know, back in like 2008 and 2009, I just found it very, very intriguing. Then I won that baking contest in 2009 and thought, oh, you know what? I could open a bakery and do both things.
This baking contest, was it a THC-infused recipe baking contest?
No, it was not. It was the Tutti Frutti sponsored baking contest using Scharfenberger chocolate.
Yum.
I entered it. I won.
Good for you.
Yeah. And then I had this cash that I thought, okay, let's combine these two things. And, you know, it was a big leap for me because there was no history, you know, nothing I could look at. You know, how are people doing this? How are people infusing? And is this going to be successful? I was scared, but I believed in it, so I went ahead.
Yeah, so thumbing through your cookbook, and I got to tell you, I really enjoy looking at it. I'm not much of a cook myself, but I can sure eat almost everything in there. Sweet Mary Jane, again, is the name of the book. And if I understand what you're doing here, Karen Lazarus, you're using a unique technique to infuse the THC from the cannabis into your items. Can you explain that?
Well, the unique one that you'll find in the cookbook is infusing sugar. Not many people do that. I mean, I don't know anybody else who infuses sugar. The other two, infusing coconut oil and butter, are fairly standard. That's how people bake with cannabis.
Right. When I look at your recipes, I see the reference to page 51, and that's the page where the sugar infusing goes on. And you have a special name for your sugar, don't you?
Yeah, Hey Sugar.
Hey Sugar. Does the THC have a taste?
Oh, yeah. Cannabis is very, very strong. So it's got a taste, it's got a color. So the thing that's great about sugar is it really does reduce that. Certainly your products aren't going to be as green. And it does reduce that cannabis flavor. That's not a flavor you can completely get rid of.
Right. So you have to measure the amount carefully. And also, probably, you want to consider the kind of bang for your buck you're going to get. I imagine some of these recipes do give you a little buzz.
All of these recipes will give you a buzz.
All of them.
Unless you don't put the cannabis in.
Right. Okay, let's pick a recipe for you to describe then. And I'm sorry, I get to choose first. Truffles. You can't lose with those, right?
First of all, they're very easy to make. They're big sellers for us. So there you're going to use your infused sugar. I'd been wanting to make truffles for a very long time, and I just couldn't figure out how to do it because I didn't know how to make infused sugar at the time. And then when we finally figured that out, we made them, entered some contests, we won, and then we just created this whole truffle line. We've just added a bunch more to our menu, and yeah, people love those.
The dangerous part about it is that they're bite-sized, and you could probably drop a few dozen if you're not careful.
You have to be careful, and that's one of the things I go over and over and over again in the book. Please, learn your dose. You must start very slowly with cannabis. Ingesting it is not like smoking it. It's not that you're going to eat a truffle, and you're going to sit around, and you're going to say, I don't feel anything. I'm going to eat another one. And then 2 hours later, you're sorry you ate two.
Yeah, and it's a dangerous combination because people have less willpower when it comes to cookies and truffles and sweets and that sort of thing. And eating one is usually not in the mindset.
Make one batch infused and make one batch uninfused.
Ah, see, now you're thinking. I like that. That's a good idea. Now you've saved me from myself. What's your favorite or your go-to recipe?
As far as the bakery, the one that we sell the most of is the True Confections, and that's that little, it's a little peanut butter truffle, and it's sandwiched in between two salty pretzels, and it's dipped in dark chocolate and drizzled with white chocolate, and We make and sell those all day long.
Yeah. Is that the night train going by? Just checking. So
you hear it. Yeah, that's the train. We're right by the railroad track.
How about that? Now, you've been on the forefront of the push to legalize marijuana, and you're in Colorado, which is one of the four states that have legalized marijuana for recreational use.
Yes.
Tell, what does the political map look like for the coming years?
As far as what's happening here or around the country?
Around the country, because we've got four, and I know we're in California. I imagine California is going to have something on the ballot pretty soon.
Oh, I would think. I mean, California was, you know, the start of it all. I am hoping to see this become federally legal, and, you know, we need to get marijuana off of being a Schedule I drug. That's causing huge problems for all of us. We have no banks. You know, banks don't want to get involved with people in the marijuana industry because of the, you know, it being a Schedule I. You know, it's right up there with heroin.
A lot of people rotting in jail. That's a problem.
Well, and that's a huge problem. So I am hoping to see very soon that this become legal across the country.
Now, are we sure recreational pot in our society is a good idea?
I think that cannabis should be available to everyone. Alcohol is available to 21 and over. Cannabis should be, you know, regulated in that same manner. I mean, if you don't want to use cannabis, don't use it.
And
I don't think it should be sold to children, obviously.
Right, just like alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't think that you should drive stoned, go to work stoned.
But you should certainly try some truffles infused with THC.
You certainly should as soon as you get home from work.
The book is called Sweet Mary Jane, 75 Delicious Cannabis-Infused High-End Desserts. It's available in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. Karen Lazarus, what a pleasure. You're the author and the bakery brains behind the book. Thank you very much for being on the show.
Oh, well, thank you.
Are you all in?
Oh, yeah. Phil, you speak as if you've had one of these too many brownies experiences. Is this
No, of course not.
No,
really?
Because I have friends. We have cookie parties, and
really,
one of the people at the cookie parties is a fiend and doesn't understand dosage.
Mm-hmm. And, So. I'm not an idiot. I just play one on the radio. We did forget to thank Karen for providing this lovely cookie platter.
This is why I remain invisible.
Show's about to get real interesting, folks.
Yep, it sure is. By the way, a woman in New York City is suing her dog walker because he took her dog out in February and sold him for some PCP. No arrests were ever made, but she sued so a judge would order the guy to get her dog back or pay $10,000. Again, harshing
the judge
the buzz.
Interested in the PCP at all? Did that come up in the conversation?
Apparently not. Apparently not.
All right.
Hey, that's it for hour one of the program. Man, that went by fast, but there's so much more to come, including you've heard of switch hitters, right? Well, it's finally happened. Easy.
Oh, sports.
Yes.
You're talking about sports.
There's a switch pitcher in the major leagues and the first ever orgy for disabled people. What? Those stories and more in the second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends. Coming up next.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour,
Do you really want to take a cruise vacation during hurricane season? And delicious deep-fried county fair food may have finally jumped the shark.
Blasphemy!
Let's meet the friends. That noise out of the ether is Gonzo Greg Spillane.
Always in the ether. Indeed.
Yes. And, of course, we have the lovely and talented Chris Martin.
Glad to be here.
Yes, of course. And here we
As
are
always.
In the beautiful L.A. radio studio on the waters, on the shore of the harbor, the Los Angeles Harbor, and trying a little something fun. We're running a live Periscope right now, if you know what Periscope is.
We're Periscoping, Gonzo.
Yeah, we're Periscoping. You can't see
you guys,
Gonzo, but you can see
me. You guys
me
are getting all kinky over there,
yeah,
Periscoping in the L.A. Harbor. Yeah.
Go ahead and follow me on Periscope and follow L.A. Radio Studio on Periscope, and you'll see little tidbits of fun from time to time. So this is an experimento right
Phil,
there.
Do you know what a periscope actually is?
Yeah, it's a thing that you have in your personal
submarine.
Submarine, yeah.
Your
and
submarine.
And you shoot it up through the top of the submarine and out the top of the water so that you could see who's coming to attack you.
It allows you to look around. Yeah, remember they used to have those, I think Play School made them too when you were younger.
Yeah.
The, like 3 foot tall version.
That's right.
Just enough to be able to see over the fence.
We had a periscope in the entirely unsafe playground equipment at the park near my house. Right? We had a rocket with a periscope and all kinds of things in it. And one of those slides with the triple bumps on it, we used to wax it up real good so that you'd come down at about 40 miles per hour and get airborne.
I'm so glad you did that, too. You'd take the wax paper off your sandwich from your lunch and
right.
you'd rub it on the hot metal slide.
Or you'd open up your soda pop cup from the 7-Eleven or from the Carl's Jr., whatever, and wax
yes.
it up with that.
Yeah.
What about that spinning disc with metal bars all around it?
The sharp metal edges all
yeah,
over?
You remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah. Yeah, that was also an awesome way to get hurt.
And you would always get the strongest kids on the outside. You'd get three or four of them, and they would just – you'd be in the middle or somewhere
yeah.
close to the middle, and they'd spin it as fast as they
yeah.
can until you got sick and projectile vomited all
no,
over the playground.
No, here's what we did, though, just to raise the ante a little bit. We would grease up our hands real good with Vaseline, and then somebody else would grab onto it and get it spinning real fast. And you know, you can't hang on then when your hands are all greased up.
Right. And yeah. then you just end up in a crumpled mess about 4 foot outside the
– Right.
What is that thing?
Or in the hospital with your head busted open because you hit one of the galvanized steel pipes that those things were made out of.
Right, and all of your friends standing around and laughing until they realized it was serious because blood's coming out of your head.
Yeah, and then maybe they'll call somebody to come help
yeah.
because they don't want to get in trouble.
Mom!
Yeah.
Just
right.
wondering what weird bunch of kids went to the playground with Vaseline, but let's leave that question for another time.
Yes, of course. And we do have stories for this this hour in our first segment here. And so, Gonzo, we'll start with you. We talk about the United States being a litigious society, but oh, we are way behind the eight ball when it comes to that, aren't we?
Well, I mean, yeah, we've always wanted to, you know, I'm going to sue you for something, but in China, apparently, this is a big problem now because they were talking about not so many years ago, like tort reform, like trying to limit what you could sue for.
Yeah those and torts are tasty.
Yeah, the tasty torts. Maybe they have cannabis in them. But in this case, in China, they've actually loosened the rules for which you can sue people, which was a perfect opportunity for this guy who was watching TV one night and popular Chinese actress Zhao Wei.
Oh, I love Zowie.
Zowie. I think I'm close on that. I'm not sure. Started staring at him too intensely through his television set.
Uh-oh.
So what did he do? Well, he sued.
Of course.
Like you do. Because, because of the intensity of his or her stare, it caused him spiritual damage.
Oh.
This woman apparently is one of the biggest movie stars in China, and she's currently on a TV show there called Tiger Mom.
Yeah.
About, you know, the Chinese mom pushing
sure.
her kid to be
yeah,
the
yeah,
whole
yeah.
thing.
Exactly.
But she apparently has very intense eyes and was staring at him intently, much like the news anchors do to me when I'm watching the news at night.
Oh.
So I'm actually currently going to contact my attorney and see if I have any recourse.
Yes. Or can we sue Zowie?
I don't know.
Just for having that name. Zowie. That's how, you know, that hurts.
I don't know if I can go back and go after Trisha Toyota for her staring at me all those years ago when I was in high school.
Wow.
Because
there's an ancient reference.
Quite right. a pull right there, huh?
Yeah. You know what? The county fairs all over this here country are famous for dipping all kinds of things into hot grease. and frying them up. And whatever it is, it tends to come out tasty. They've deep fried beer. They've deep fried ice cream. What else, Greg?
This year, yeah, they've outdone themselves. Apparently, there's one guy that's really behind the movement of frying crazy stuff for the fair, and his name, for some reason, is, in quotes, chicken, Charlie Bogosian. And he claims responsibility in the past for deep-fried Kool-Aid, deep-fried Oreos, and the triple-decker Krispy Kreme cheeseburger deep-fried.
Wow.
Yeah, all sound pretty remarkable. This year, I think he may have outdone himself because there's not very many healthy food options at the county fair, right?
Right.
So finally, Charlie here is thinking we've got to do something for people who want to enjoy the fair but eat healthy. And that's why he has this year the deep-fried Slim Fast Bar.
Let's, all right, I can see the torches and the pitchforks coming over to his house right now. This is blasphemy. Absolute blasphemy.
Introducing it at the San Diego County Fair, the Slim Fast Chewy. Yeah. He went for the Chewy Chocolate Bar this time.
Yeah.
He breads it up in pancake butter. Then fries it and dusts it with powdered sugar and drizzles it with chocolate.
Yeah. The power has gone to his head. He's power mad. And this is an abuse of power now. Because
we want
things that are bad for us but absolutely tasty. Not things that are good for us and marginally tasty.
He is a hero and should be celebrated for looking out for the health of those of us that want something in chocolate sauce and that's fried in pancake batter.
I want to kick his butt.
It'll probably be the best tasting Nutrafast Slim Bar that anybody's ever had, though.
Yeah. I've actually experimented in this realm, and I've deep fried a piece of pizza, which was pretty good.
Yeah.
I've deep fried an entire steak, which was pretty fun.
Yeah.
But by far the most remarkable was those giant pink Hostess snowballs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, batter that up and deep fry it and then stick it on a stick.
Yeah.
It is, you'll go to another dimension once you have that.
Yeah. See, now you're talking. And while we're on the topic of delicious stuff, you know, the folks over at Starbucks, there's one of those near your house, right? They've introduced 6 new limited edition Frappuccino flavors. And they all seem closer to milkshakes than to coffee drinks. But after all, that's why you go to Starbucks in the first place, right? Not for the coffee, but for all the cream and the crap that they put in the coffee. Here are the new flavors. Red Velvet, Lemon Bar, Caramel Cocoa Cluster, Cotton Candy, Cupcake, and Cinnamon Roll.
Hmm. So these are going to be at the county fair, right?
No. At the Starbucks.
Oh, this is at Starbucks?
Yes.
Huh.
A couple of those sound too sweet to be coffee. Cotton candy.
Yeah. Well, that's the point. People go in there to just get a dessert for breakfast.
So, yeah, see, that's the thing. I'll go into Starbucks and order coffee, and everybody looks at me sideways. Like,
right,
well,
right.
Huh?
Well, here's one thing that has a little bit more of the county fair in mind. The good folks over at Pizza Hut 3 long years ago, and I think we talked about this on the program, they introduced a crust stuffed with hot dogs.
I remember that.
Yes. They introduced it. In the UK and then sold it in Australia, South Korea, and even in Canada. But they never sold it here in the United States. Until now, Pizza Hut will officially bring their hot dog stuffed crust pizza. Say that fast. Hot dog stuffed crust pizza to the United States a week from Thursday. So that count the days. That's 9 days from today.
Calendar.
I promise you this. I will eat that.
You will eat it?
I will eat it, yes.
Why would you not introduce that first in the United States?
I think we'd be the ultimate testing ground,
right?
For that.
That would be, you would start, test market, like Indianapolis or Cleveland, Ohio.
Besides,
somewhere. Try it out.
We own hot dogs.
We are made of hot dogs. We're Americans. Look at us.
We're the hot dog nation.
Yes, we are.
I'm also going to start a petition for cheesy bratwurst stuffed crust. Just because I want to take it to the next level.
That
now.
Sounds
and
great.
Also put ham and bacon on it, and then we'll have something.
You know what? 20 years ago, you remember who America's favorite ex-girlfriend was?
20 years ago?
Kathy Ireland?
Yeah. Alanis Morissette.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Loved her.
Oh, we're going to.
Well, she's not. She's a Canadian, too.
I'm going to force you to profess in great detail your love for Alanis Morissette next on the program. All right, Chris? Sound like a plan?
I'm on it.
That's next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports a Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports a Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. All right, thanks for tuning in. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil. Chris is here. Gonzo Greg is here.
Nope.
All right, fine. As we as we move along here, Chris, there's a Canadian gal who was a big deal. She was selling more records than anybody on the planet for a couple of weeks some time ago. And when I realize how long ago it was, it just makes me feel old.
Takes you back a little bit, doesn't it?
It takes me back, way, way back. But who are we talking about again?
Alanis Morissette.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that Canadian pop singer who came out in 1995 with her breakout album, Jagged Little Pill. Does everybody remember Jagged Little Pill?
It's what people refer to when they think of her in that album as the quintessential psycho bitch.
1995, by the way, 20 years ago. The album turned 20 years old. People seem to be freaking out about it. I think maybe it reminds them how old they are.
Yeah, and she was dating that dude from Full House, right?
How much time has passed. Dave Coulier, you're talking about.
Yeah, that's what the song is about, right?
The song.
The song about things happening in the movie theater and so forth.
Oh, yeah.
So we're all like, right on, Dave.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what happened to her psychologically, but she never wore shoes again after that incident.
Most recently, when asked about it, Morissette, who's 41 now, says she thanks sweet baby Jesus every day that she can still perform the songs. Takes quite a range.
Yeah, it does. What was that
song?
Had
the song yeah. What was the one? What was the hit? That was You Oughta Know, right?
Yeah. You Oughta Know. And people came up with all kinds of alternative lyrics to that, didn't they?
Well, there was one. That's what I never understood is why someone would give her a cross-eyed bear.
That's right. Well, you know what? And ladies don't like it, men, when you call Vermont Teddy Bear and you get them one of those teddy bears. No matter how much the advertising says, don't do it.
Yeah. I would like the Alanis Morissette cross-eyed bear that you gave me.
Yeah.
I may or may not have misheard that lyric. It's possible I might have that wrong.
Yeah, I think you're wrong about that.
There has to be at least a handful of girls out there that would find that funny.
Yeah, maybe.
But there was also Alanis always had a very strong grip on irony. She really knew that irony was like having a fly in your Chardonnay.
Yeah.
Or rain on your wedding day.
Yeah.
Things that were bummers.
Right.
Not necessarily, quote, ironic.
Yes, exactly. Look at you. It's almost like you prepared this Alanis Morissette bit.
I play a lot of 90s music on my station, so, you got to come up with jokes.
You mean your Pandora plays it for you?
No, I have a station.
He has a station. Yeah.
So
you never bothered to even promote it.
I didn't know I could plug on here, but anyway.
Why don't you go ahead? Go ahead and plug.
Oh, it's gonzo.fm.
There you go. See?
All right, then.
Good.
Where are we going, Phil?
We'll add that to the links page.
If you play 90s music, I'm tuning in.
I'll tell you where we're going. I was in the last segment using my phone to use that old Periscope thing, and I'm sure I was sucking the data out of my plan because I was eating up all the Wi-Fi or the 4G or whatever the heck it was. But now I'm looking at my battery, and it went from 72% down to 42%.
Yeah, streaming eats up your battery like crazy.
Yeah, well, I'm starting to panic. Is technology going to make things easier on the battery life?
Yeah, they're getting there. They want to make it so your phone just sucks power out of the air, like some sort of crazy evil voodoo, or like what Tesla was working on back in the day, right?
Yes,
he was trying to send electricity through the air, right?
Sure, of course.
But they're actually getting to the point where they'll do it, and they're trying to use the power that Wi-Fi puts out, like your router or whatever, to kind of suck that up and not necessarily just use it to get your data, but use the energy that's being projected and use it to charge your battery and your Wi-Fi devices.
Wow. That sounds like it's going to make living at home with your Wi-Fi and all your Wi-Fi extenders and all that kind of stuff, with all that Wi-Fi bouncing around in the house and hitting you in the head and in the chest and in the sack and wherever else you're going to get cancer, it's going to deflect and absorb some of that, making your life a little bit safer, and perhaps you'll live for an extra couple of hours.
Well, yeah, maybe. I mean, I live, you know, I've got the post-divorce apartment complex where everybody has a router, so there's a lot of Wi-Fi flying around this place. But researchers at the University of Washington are testing small, because they're talking about the Internet of Things, like your Internet-connected thermostat or your Internet-connected door locks or all that other crazy stuff. It could suck up the Wi-Fi power and use that to charge its battery so you don't have to plug it in or recharge it or charge its battery or whatever. The situation, though, is most routers put out, the FCC, our favorite organization in the world, caps a Wi-Fi power output right now for, like, your average home router for at 1 watt. And when you're charging your MacBook Air, say, that takes 45 watts. It takes 5 watts for an iPhone charger. Mm-hmm. So in order for this really to be effective for larger devices, they're going to have to change the FCC rules to allow it to put out more juice. Yeah. So pretty soon, I figure you'll have, like, you know, you'll be like a Mexican AM station working overnight, putting out 50,000 watts of power, and Wolfman Jack will go into your phone and recharge it or something. I don't know. That's how I see it happening. Yeah.
Recharge, baby.
I wonder how many watts those little, you know, the new Samsung, that the S6 Edge, they've got that little wireless, it looks like a, like, the thing you'd stick your hot coffee on. What do they call those? On the
table? Like a little hot plate, a little coffee warmer like thing?
Yeah, the trivet or whatever. Right. What the thing?
The doily.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, you just lay your phone on it and it charges. I wonder if that's only 1 watt, because that would take forever.
Well, that's different. That's the, I forget what technology that is, but it's when the thing is close to another thing, it can charge through the air. Mm-hmm. But it has to be relatively close to the thing.
Yeah.
So it's effectively tethered. You might as well plug a cord into it. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. For a minute there, I thought you were describing adolescence.
Well, a lot of us are still there.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And a lot of guys in Japan, actually, from what I understand, it's like, what is the percentage? A quarter of them are still virgins by the age of 30. Men in Japan are still virgins. And a lot of them are married and still virgins in their 30s.
Are they just too busy?
Apparently there's all, you know, for a culture that has such amazingly bizarre pornography, they are very hung up sexually and don't talk about sex and stuff. So there's a lot of guys in Japan that don't know here from there when it comes to doing it.
Yeah, this is that Tokyo, like where they have the vending machines with the used panties in them.
You can buy panties out of a vending machine. Yet,
used ones.
Yet,
yeah.
So many guys are still virgins. So a guy set up a Virgin Academy. A guy by the name of Shingo Sakamute. And he started doing lectures on how to find a partner. He offered a 3-day boot camp, which includes intercourse lessons and guarantees. I guarantee to help you lose your virginity.
Oh, so intercourse lessons, is that a performance thing?
Yeah, intercourse lessons got him in trouble with the authorities, and that was shut down.
Yeah.
But now he still offers the course, but it's basically you sit around and draw pictures of naked women and learn about the female body so on.
And again, this is from the country that puts out the TV game show where guys sit on chairs and attempt to solve math problems while a female assistant
performs actions upon the male contestant.
Yes, exactly.
This happens. And this is
on primetime television.
On TV. Yes, the quote from the article is, sexual imagery is prevalent in Japan, yet, ... they still have this problem, apparently.
Yeah. But I'm more incredulous that they've had to shut this down and they didn't shut down the TV show.
Well, it's on TV.
Did they blur out the vivid imagery on the TV show?
Yes, because everything seems to be blurred out that comes out of Japan for some reason.
Yeah. Well, sometimes if I go to Japan, I'm just going to blurt out something.
When you go to Japan, everybody's actually blurry like that when you look at them.
No kidding.
Yeah, down there. Wow. If you actually get to third base, it's all blurry.
It's called Tokyo Chic. That's what that is. All right. People love tiny stuff. There's nothing cuter than something tiny. Isn't that right, Chris?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah. You know, like, let's say you're on that camp for adults, that cannabis camp that we talked about in the first hour, Greg, and you're in the forest, and all of a sudden, what comes upon you?
A tiny deer.
Wow.
A tiny deer. It's actually called...
Hey, look.
You're never going to guess what I saw out there, man.
What was
it? Actually called...
That wasn't a tiny deer. That was... it was not a tiny deer, man.
It was a raccoon.
Right.
It's actually called the Pudu deer. It's the world's smallest species, and the tiniest one was born in the New York City Zoo recently.
Isn't that redundant?
What's that?
Pudu?
Pudu. It stands just 6 inches tall and 6 inches long, weighs less than 1 pound at maximum height. It will get less, somewhere around 12 and 14 inches at shoulder blades.
Yeah. This is a real thing?
Greg, Gonzo, I'm looking at it right now.
Thought we were just making this up.
There's a picture of it on the show fun page at philhewlettandfriends.com. I'm looking at it right now. It's the cutest little thing. It's the size of a dog.
Tiny little white spots. It looks like if Bambi had dwarfism.
Well, that would just be sad, wouldn't it?
It's a cute little thing.
Godzilla would totally crush that.
So take a look at it. That's a cute little picture. So it's not like a freak of nature. That's an actual breed of deer.
Yeah, it's a species. And apparently this tiny deer's mom and dad have successfully raised 3 other tiny deer in the past.
Well, how about that?
Yes.
The nuclear family survives.
Their lineage lives on.
Yeah. Hey, hurricane season just officially started. So it seems like a great time to find a deal on a vacation cruise, right?
Yes!
Now, before you take that leap of faith, you need to hear what our travel guy has to say, because apparently he has traveled right through the eye of the storm once or twice, just for the sake of it, so that we don't have to. And Gary Warner joins us next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Well, it's Phil Hewlett and Friends, and you found it. Add a .com to the name of the show, and you found our website. All sorts of stuff there. There's the store where you can buy books from guests who you've heard on this program. There's the links page, always useful. And the show fun page, where, among other things, there's a picture of a tiny deer. A pudu deer. Unless you're a storm chaser, now may not be such a great time to be on a big boat in the middle of the ocean. But are there deals good enough for you to have one heck of a hurricane of a vacation? joining us now, he just blew into town, is our travel guy, Gary Warner.
You got a flag on that one, Phil. Just got flagged.
Thank you. Sorry about that. Gary, the cruise lines, they still sail during hurricane season, right?
Yes, they do. I mean, most of the modern ships can handle hurricane winds, and the forecasting is so good now that if there's trouble, they can usually get out of the way and get to a home port before long. I used to go on a cruise line called Windjammer Barefoot Cruises that had like 3 and 4 mast ships. They couldn't always get out of the way, and I remember one of the ships ended up getting smashed up against an island, and luckily they were able to get everybody off the ship. But these big guys, you know, they get out of the way, and quite frankly, what you'll find, and this is what I want to talk a little bit about, is the cruise lines will discount with the idea that basically if they see trouble, they will change your itinerary to be on the safe side, which can be really boring.
Yeah, because they take you to places that you wouldn't have paid for a ticket in the first place.
You get to go to Gilligan's Island, though. Well, I mean, how awesome would that be?
A 3-hour cruise, yeah.
Right.
Now, when I was travel editor of the Orange County Register, probably the biggest complaint I got every year was people who took these deeply discounted summertime cruises on Carnival or one of these other lines where they would go down to Cabo San Lucas. And it was supposed to be usually San Diego, Catalina, Ensenada, and then down to Cabo. And they were always having to basically cancel Cabo because there would be a hurricane.
Yeah.
So the ships would basically bob around. You know, one lady told me that for 3/4 of the cruise, she lived in Dana Point, she could see her house. So, you know, which wasn't exactly what she wanted. Now, usually they'll make good, you know, they'll give you a little discount off of a future cruise. But in the writing there, it says that the captain has a right, and as well he should, to keep out of harm's way. But the fact is, these trips are deeply discounted because of that problem.
Well, you know what? If you just have a little perspective on this, I mean, after all, why do you cruise? You get a deeply discounted bed to sleep on, and really the reason you're there is to gorge out on food and desserts and alcohol. Isn't that right?
Yeah, and get STDs, yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe all that. What about all the crazy rhinovirus and all that? Is that
right? Whatever, and the Norwalk viruses and everything like that.
Right.
I mean, my least favorite season to cruise in the Caribbean is the summer. It's just too damn hot. A lot of the lines are already sending their ships over to the Mediterranean, but you can still get cruises out of Florida and things like that. They do really good on forecasting, and they know where the problems are at for the most part. You just kind of have to go with the flow and realize that, you know, buyer beware, you get what you pay for.
Yeah. So you cruise into Montego Bay and you're in Jamaica, is Jamaica nicer when it's 75 degrees as opposed to when it's 100 degrees and 90% humidity?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I always prefer to go, winter, spring, cruising season. It's just absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, and if you're going to take a walk up to a pineapple or a coffee plantation, something like that, you don't want to be walking in all that humidity and that heat, right?
I can take a margarita into a wet sauna at the gym and pretty well recreate a summer cruise.
Yeah, right. I want to ask more about these big cruise ships and get a feeling for what's under the hood. Now, if they're out there and the seas are okay, but then they say, uh-oh, here comes the hurricane, and can they more or less gun it and steer around the storm as it's coming?
Definitely. I mean, these are very powerful cruise ships. They're not really made for open ocean, so they want to get out of the way. But especially in the Caribbean, there's just so many places they can park. And as long as you can get into a port, a sheltered port or something like that, or a lot of them just hightail it back to Miami or the Bahamas, where the hurricanes have a tendency not to get up as far.
Now, what happens if you're unfortunate enough to take a direct hit and you survive? Do you get your money back?
Well, usually what it is, it depends on how bad it goes. If you're on one of these ones where the ship breaks down and everybody's
on one of those. She was on that one that caught on fire and they had to tow it back to San Diego.
San Diego, I covered that. And all those people got they got compensation. But mostly the compensation tends to be, another cruise. It's like the old Woody Allen joke of the food here is so terrible and the portions are so small. Basically, you have a lousy time on a cruise ship and then they give you another cruise.
Voucher.
Let me update you a little bit about some tips for this year, because the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration has come out with their forecast for the year. And basically the Caribbean season began June 1st, and they are forecasting a lower than normal number of activity this year. Normally, they see between 8 and 13 storms. They're looking at about 5 in the region this year.
Now, considering their recent history, they've been absolutely wrong for about 8 straight years.
Oh, yeah.
This could be a very bad hurricane season.
You never know. But, I mean, the modeling is pretty good about it's always 70. It's a 70% chance that it's going to be lower than normal. So there's a 30% chance that they're wrong or something like that.
All right.
But on the flip side, the Pacific, 70% chance it's going to be worse than normal.
Oh.
And I want to put out a red flag there on my favorite place, Hawaii.
Yeah.
Where they are expecting between 5 and 8 storms in the region this year. Ooh. They had 5 last year.
Yeah.
The thing is that Hawaii is a really weird place in that a low power storm can cause havoc if it hits directly, whereas a high-powered storm that kind of skates by isn't so bad. So let's look back at the last two, and it's been a long time since there's been a really powerful storm there. We had Hurricane Iwa in 1982, Category 1, smallest one.
Yeah.
But up till then was the biggest hurricane ever because it smashed right into Kauai, right across Hawaii.
Yeah, yeah.
And then a lot of us remember Hurricane Iniki in 1992. That one was a little bit more offshore, but it was a Category 4, and it smashed the hell out of everything. I mean, that was the one where Steven Spielberg and the Jurassic Park people were having to hide in the basement of the Marriott Hotel to ride this thing out. And so it's been a little while. It's been, they're overdue for a big hurricane there, and they're talking about a 70% chance.
The surfers must be, the big surfers must be licking their chops because they don't get the giant 30, 40-foot waves every season, but they do here.
Yeah, the thing is, to a degree, as the former, surfing writer at the Register, and by the way, the 2000 Association of Surfing Professionals Journalist of the Year.
You?
Yes.
You?
From
See, everybody's plugging on the show today. See, okay.
You know, man. I'm just a man. I have so many hats.
Yeah, well, that's it. We all say that from time to time. You know what, baby? I'm just a man.
I'm just a man, but I'm a great one. Anyway, they, you know, most of those storms are off of, are generated by storms up in Alaska.
Yeah.
And after the tsunamis that smashed into Hilo in the 40s and in the 60s, they set up all these buoys out there so they could see these things coming. But Surfline and others can use that to say, hey, here comes a big set.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the winter, the thing is that it's the winter when you get the big waves on the North Shore. Basically, it's the surf goes around the islands as the season goes. So if you want to have the biggest waves in Waikiki of the year, go in the summer. That's when to get out on those outriggers and take that outrigger ride down to the bay. Otherwise, it's a pond during the summer. But up in it's a pond usually up in the North Shore around now. You can go swimming at Waimea Bay.
Sure, of course, I've done it. But I've also paddled out in 40-foot waves at Jaws. No, I have not. I've never done that.
I was going to say. Yeah. I don't believe that.
Yeah. You would have written about it if that were the case. You
award-winning surfing writer. Or some obituary in the Times. Yeah. You know, you're right. Never you could have done that. You know?
Gary Warner, always great to talk with you. Cruise back next week, will you?
Yeah. Just be safe. I tell people be safe. Check with on everything. Check with travel.state.gov. It's a great resource because you can find out about, you know, there's a disease outbreak right now in South Korea.
Uh-oh.
They'll tell you all about the hurricanes. They'll tell you about security problems in Colombia. You know, a lot of these things that don't make the media anymore because the media is falling apart, it's a good place to go.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Gary Warner. I'll talk to you
take
next
care.
Week.
I'm still going to Hawaii, by the way. I don't care.
Good.
Yes.
Go for it.
Yeah. Take care, guy.
Because he's just a man.
See you next week.
All right. Up next, there's some kind of history being made in Major League Baseball, and you hate when this happens. There's some serious trash being talked about the USA women's soccer team, and we hate when that happens. Because why, Chris? Because they're cute?
No, because we're the United States, and nobody talks trash about the United States, Phil.
We'll find out
Wait,
more
we're
going to
talk
that.
About soccer?
Yeah.
What?
No. We're going to talk about hot babes.
Oh, okay.
That's next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, it's so great that you joined us. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. I mean that. I truly do. I'm Phil. Chris is here. Gonzo Greg Spillane is here as well. And
sort of.
There you go. That's the list of friends. It's a short list. Long enough, however. Now, let's start here. Chris, the World Cup of Women's Soccer is currently going on, and the United States team is dominant. In two departments, soccer and good looks.
Yeah, they're getting a bunch of attention right now. The U.S. women's national team is because they're good and they're cocky. They're talking like they're good. They're very confident going into this World Cup.
Yeah.
They did win their opening World Cup match last night versus Australia 3-1. That now puts them at the top of their group, which is Group D. And the official Australian soccer website went on to say that the USA girls are really just not that good. They said...
Why would they say that? They lost.
They say, you know, they talk a good game, but the reality is they play a fairly rudimentary, bog-standard 4-4-2. And just look ahead for Wambach. They look a lot like a team stuck in the past, mate.
That's not bad of you to do that, right? That was a great... That was a great rendition.
Thank you.
Of an Aussie accent.
I've practiced my Aussie accent.
Yeah.
They did give a bunch of credit to Hope Solo, our troubled goalie, calling her a world-class goalkeeper, in which she gets a ton of balls out of the net.
Why is she troubled? Explain that.
But she's in all kinds of trouble, sometimes for substance abuse, sometimes for not showing up to practice, most recently for actually abusing someone. She has an abuse charge brought against her. But I like to think that maybe she's figured it out. There was an article a while back that said that Hope Solo would not play on the U.S. Women's National Team for this World Cup. But, of course, last minute, they hauled her in because she is the
best.
She's
good. She's the real deal. Yeah. She's a bit of a rock star.
Correct.
All right, if these girls are so hot, can we just get them to play volleyball instead?
Yeah.
Instead of soccer.
You want to see their koala?
Just because soccer.
Yeah, I know.
It is tough because the camera's panned all the way back and you're just watching 14 tiny bodies run around as fast as they can.
You know, when I watch soccer, I always hate when all the players, they just kind of converge on the ball at the same time and the ball doesn't really go anywhere and then it squirts out and all the parents start screaming. It's not really that fun of a sport to watch. But one sport that, you know, if you understand it, people say that baseball is boring, but if you understand the chess game that's going on, it's a remarkable game. There's so many things happening all at once, and if you appreciate the game, then you appreciate when history is being made. And
that's
Chris,
right, because I am drinking so much beer and having so many hot dogs.
Yes.
I am making history.
It's time for a coup. Now, the Oakland A's have something that probably is going to end up in the Baseball Hall of Fame one of these days.
It has the potential for that. I should say he has the potential for that. The Oakland A's just rolled out one of their new pitchers they brought up from the minor leagues. His name is Pat Venditti, and he is pretty interesting to watch.
Is it Pat Venditti or is it Pat Venditti?
It's Pat Venditti. Venditti is his last name.
Great if he just had one name, Pat Venditti.
He's breaking new ground in Major League Baseball by being ambidextrous.
Ambidextrous.
That means he can hurl the rock around 94 miles per hour with either his right arm, or he could go southpaw on you.
Oh, I saw this. Did you see this today? There's a newspaper clipping where they screwed up, and instead of ambidextrous, they put amphibious.
Yes!
It says baseball's first amphibious pitcher.
Now that's going straight to the Hall of Fame.
You can live on land and in water and pitch baseball?
I was turned on to the story, Greg, because of, you know, just the physical feat of a pitcher throwing with both arms. And when you go to research the guy, the only thing that comes up is the fact that
amphibious.
Yes. That they called him amphibious.
Yeah. He's frog, man. Look, this guy's baseball card is already worth more. If you have this guy's card, you're already in the money right now.
Oh, yeah.
Let me give you some of the particulars real quick. He has a custom six-finger glove that has two thumbs, so he can switch hands with his glove at any time on the mound, except he has to tell the umpire before each batter. So if he tells the umpire, hey, I'm pitching lefty against this batter, he has to pitch lefty all the way through. Next batter, he has the option of changing his mind.
So he can't switch up on the same batter? He can't just go, hey, I'm going to switch up?
No. That's the rule that's in place. Wherever he starts, he has to finish.
Yeah.
He has a six-fingered glove.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
He's like the guy from The Princess Bride. He's the six-fingered man. You killed my father. You must die. Right?
Yeah.
Who's with me? Hello?
I'm with you.
Is this on? Hello?
Right. It's inconceivable.
Inconceivable.
The guy's got a couple of guns. And I just want to tell you, some guy posted a video online, and it's on our show fun page now if you'd like to take a look at it, of a homemade laser gun. And it's pretty sweet. The beam is huge. And he can actually light stuff on fire with it.
It's about time.
Yeah. Now, how many times you're driving around in traffic and you wished to yourself, you said to yourself, perhaps you said it out loud to somebody in the car, man, if only I had a laser beam on the hood of my car right now. Right?
We're on our way to laser death ray?
Yes.
So seriously, he can shoot this thing and things will catch on fire.
Yeah, so this is just the prototype, and he's lighting stuff on fire. If you want to see it, it's on our show fun page. Go take a look.
I am so glad we finally have this. We've been promised for so long we were going to have robot maids, we were going to have flying cars, and we were going to have a damn laser death ray.
And we are
this close. I can taste it.
I am
so ready for laser death ray in my home to protect my
your stuff,
futon.
Yeah.
Now here's something I'm pretty sure you have not been waiting for. The world's first orgy for disabled people. And forgive me, I'm just a conduit here. I'm just telling you this is a story, and it's put out by the people who are organizing the event.
You think they'll be periscoping that?
Perhaps. It's going down in, so to speak, in Toronto in August. It's being organized by a 35-year-old woman who's in a wheelchair because of a spinal condition, and she wants to show the world that disabled people still like sex.
Well, they do.
And she wants to show the world, that is.
Okay. Okay.
The orgy will be open to 125 people. It'll cost $20 to get in, but people can bring a support worker, or if they're deaf, they can bring an interpreter in for free. I'm sorry to laugh, but
it's a laughing matter.
Is it?
It is.
Well,
yes.
It seems insensitive to laugh.
It kind of is if you know people that are in a chair. I guess good for them.
Yeah.
I'm conflicted because this is personal for me. So I'm just going to step away and,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But yeah, I know people and good for them.
Yes.
I just don't want to know about it, I guess.
Yeah. All right. So you're not tuning in, Greg?
It's none of our business.
Well, I don't know. No, if they want to have an orgy and tell everybody about it, sure, that's fine. But it's just I saw this item today, and the item that bothered me was, well, you know, the wheelchair. It's just it can be used as just a one big sex toy.
Yeah. All right.
And
All right.
Well, I mean, okay, sure.
Fine.
Yes, good for you guys.
Different strokes for different folks, eh?
Yep. That's true. That's true. All right, so do we end the show on a lawsuit or on a comfy, warm, happy note?
What was comfy, warm, happy note? Well, I have lawsuit.
This
it
is a story.
Leaving
beer.
It to you, Phil.
And this is a story about a golden retriever.
Yes. I don't know how much your dog loves you, but let me tell you about Bigo. That's B-I-G-O. He's a trained guide dog who jumped in front of a bus for his owner, Audrey Stone, who is blind, was walking down the street when a school bus full of kindergartners came bearing down on her. The dog, sensing danger, threw his body in front of the closest part of the bus, which took most of the blow. Both the dog and his owner are in the hospital currently, but expected to survive.
Air Bud, I love you.
What a great dog. I've only had dogs that, like, lift their leg and pee on me. Now, why couldn't I get a dog like that?
Thanks for ruining a warm, fuzzy moment, Gonzo Greg.
And that's why you have me.
Chris Martin, thank you. And thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson, production assistant, Ryan Hayden, our assistant in training is Adam Thompson. For Aaron Myers, who'll be back soon, Chris Martin, Gonzo Greg, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time. I'm Phil Hewlett and friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.